Well, I quite agree with that, Mr. Ledgerton, that we must have efficient soils and must maintain our soils. I believe that the very important thing in this whole business, however, is to recognize the fact that if we are to have price and other guarantees as farmers, really assumed socially by governments in terms of fixing prices or stabilizing prices, either on a world basis or otherwise, that we as a whole people, through possibly world government, must assume a social responsibility for distributing those foods. And as we do that, we can raise both the efficiency as to soil and as to human beings. Right. Because farmers who have stabilized prices and who know that their product is going to be eaten can take a longer range view, do a better job, less mining of their soil, and at the same time increase their mechanization or their efficiency in terms of other items in the production. In production.
Is this hand-to-mouth business, you mean, that we've been used to in the past, just not knowing one year what's going to happen the next, and if only we can get long-term stability, then I'm perfectly certain the producers of this world can do their job efficiently.
That's right. And we'll eliminate this idea of stabilization being the same as restriction. I don't think there's anyone here who wants to go on restriction,
not
reducing acreage and such things as that. We do all want some stability in the whole picture.
Oh, yes, I think I quite agree with you there. But you see, we have got, in my country, an awful problem with these small farmers. When we came over to England, I heard that the average farm in England was 80, 60, 80 acres. But in Holland, the average farm is only 20 acres, and it's very difficult for these people to get a living out of that. You see, we've got 250,000 farmers who have got a farm, but we've also got 250,000 farmers who haven't got a farm because there isn't any soil for them left. Mm. And that's a very difficult problem.
Oh, I think that emphasized what I said a while ago about a balance between industrial production and agricultural production.
Yeah. Oh, I quite agree with that. They're the lines we've got to work on. I would like to go back, though, to one remark that Lord Horder, who you've already heard, is the advisor on medical grounds to the Ministry of Food, said to us, and he said it in this way, that he, as a medical man, could prescribe the medicine, but it's up to us, the producers of the world, to provide that medicine. And I'm perfectly certain that by getting together, we can sweep away what appeared to be, maybe only 12 months ago, a lot of difficulties, and so produce this food that is so vitally necessary.
Thank you, all of you. This certainly is an excellent preview, an excellent insight into this conference for you people in the WHO territory. All of us here are tremendously interested in working out this problem. We recognize that standards of living of people throughout the world depend upon production for man, and that agriculture is no exception to the rule. I have been told that through the courtesy again of BBC and WHO together, I shall be able at the end of this conference to make a report on what has taken place. I'm looking forward with a great deal of pleasure to that opportunity, and so shall now turn this back to Mr. McAlpine of the British Broadcasting Corporation.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Mr. Klein, and all of you who have participated in this discussion arising out of the deliberations of the International Conference of Agriculture now convened in London. If I may remind you again of the participants, Alan Klein, your old friend, you know so well, Jim Patton of Colorado, Count von Linden of the Netherlands, and Leonard Ledgerton, the United Kingdom delegate to the conference who has participated before in the Corn Belt Hour. Well, that brings to the end this part of our contribution to Corn Belt Hour. And now, Corn Belt Hour listeners, we have a surprise for you. Mrs. Klein is also in the studio, and I have great pleasure now in turning this BBC microphone over to her. Mrs. Klein.
Thank you, Mr. McAlpine. I have here a token from the Farm Bureau Women of Iowa to the Associated Country Women of the World. This check does not represent a lot of money, but it does represent a great deal of interest and goodwill, and a desire for friendship with country women all over the world. In connection with delivering this token, I ran into a little difficulty. The address given me was Flat 1 Collingham Road, but when I went out there, I discovered the building had been bombed out and was vacant. But now, through the assistance of the British Broadcasting Corporation in helping me make contact, I am very happy to present this to you, Mrs. McGregor. And again, it's only a little money, but a lot of goodwill.
As Honorary Treasurer of the Associated Country Women of the World, I thank you, Mrs. Klein, for this generous gift towards the Penny for Friendship Fund, which you have just handed to me from the Farm Bureau Women of Iowa. My association are much delighted by the interest that you all continue to take in our work, the chief aim of which is to foster understanding and international friendship between all women. Your goodwill helps us tremendously. We are proud to have kept our work in being at our London headquarters all through the war, in spite of air raid warnings and bombs. We all look forward to the time when we can hold our first post-war conference, at which we hope to meet many old friends and make many new ones. Part of your gift shall be set aside for our conference fund. Part will be devoted to the Letter Friend scheme, and the remainder will be put to our general fund. I very much appreciate the privilege of meeting you, Mrs. Klein, and of having the opportunity to speak over the BBC microphone to you all in the WHO area. Our special greetings to you farm women in Iowa.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Klein and Mrs. McGregor. I personally found that very, very moving. It has really been a great pleasure to the BBC to have both of you at this microphone taking your part in Corn Belt Hour. And now, our thanks to you, WHO, for this renewal of the privilege of bringing you Corn Belt Hour from London. It revives most pleasant memories for many of us here, and we are honored this time by the privilege of presenting a discussion on this really momentous gathering of world farmers in London. And now it's time for goodbyes from the BBC in London to all of you listeners in Iowa and to Herb Plambeck. This is Warren McAlpin returning you from the British Broadcasting Corporation, London, to WHO, Des Moines. Goodbye.
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 Good luck.
Goodbye.
And thanks to you, Warren McAlpin, and to the BBC for this very splendid broadcast and for some of the memories that it has brought back to us. Thanks, of course, also to Mrs. Klein, to Mrs. McGregor, and to Alan Klein and Jim Patton, and to Leonard Ledgerton and Count Van Linden. May I suggest to our listeners that Mr. and Mrs. Klein and Jim Patton and those of us here at WHO would very much appreciate hearing from listeners regarding this discussion. I think if the listeners knew the effort that was put forth in getting this broadcast over there by the people in London and the participants on the program, and over here, our engineers, Roy Pratt and Reed Snyder and others, putting up antennas, doing other work, and the long-distance calls and the cables, I think the listeners would let us hear from them. Next, a reminder that Alan Klein and Jim Patton and Grangemaster Goss will be on WHO at 10:45 tomorrow evening. And again, next Saturday, Alan Klein's report at the close of the International Food Producers Meeting.
Thank you, Herb. And now for a number by our soloist, charming Lucia Thorne, who brings us The Gypsy and is accompanied by the Sunset Corner Symphony.
In a quaint caravan, there's a lady they call the Gypsy. She can look in the future and drive away all your fears. Everything will come right if you only believe the Gypsy. She could tell at a glance that my heart was so full of tears. She looked at my hand and told me my lover was always true. And yet in my heart I knew, dear, somebody else was kissing you. But I'll go there again, 'cause I want to believe the gypsy that my lover is true and will come back to me someday.
Thank you, Lucia. Now, before we go on to the next feature, here is some news just brought to us from the WHO newsroom saying that the striking brotherhoods of railway engineers and trainmen have offered to return to work on the basis of a government fact-finding board's recommendations. And right now, the nation is tense as it awaits the president's reply to the offer. If he says yes, the country's vast rail network once more will be in operation. If he says no, well, the Army is ready to take over and run the trains. Meanwhile, of course, we urge every one of our listeners to be tuned again to the 12:30 news summary over WHO, in which full details on this latest development and on other reports from the rail crisis will be heard. Very briefly, the latest reports we have of stranded foodstuffs and work stoppages continue to pour into our news departments, and perhaps the most serious of these are those affecting the UNRWA shipments to the outside world. Then in addition, at Aberdeen, South Dakota, 10 cars of livestock and 10 more of perishable foods sit on sidings. And in addition, word from the Imperial Valley and from the section down in the Rio Grande area of Texas reports that perishables are waiting on the tracks there. We have just about 1 minute before we're going to call on the next news number, or rather on the next music number. Let's turn quickly to three of the veterans from our Sunset Corner Symphony. First to Chuck Pray for just a word about your thoughts about Memorial Day next week.
It's a privilege for this opportunity to pay tribute to the boys that have passed on before.
Thank you, Chuck. Roy Shaw, another veteran of World War I.
I think that we should never lose thought of what the boys of World War I and World War II have done in the way of preserving our great nation.
Thank you, Roy. And now for one of our World War II veterans, Bob Wilkins, who was over in England, I think it was a year ago, in a hospital there. Bob, a word from you on Memorial Day thoughts.
Herb, I think that all these current emphases are tied in together because, well, all the boys that were injured are still giving and still fighting. Now we can give like they, because we're all fighting on the food front, all on the same battle. And I think it's an excellent opportunity, this memorial occasion, to honor the war heroes by giving to those whose need is so great.
Thank you, Bob Wilkins, and the other veteran members of our symphony. And now back again to Hib Cleveland.
Thank you, Herb. And I believe we have time for another number by the symphony. Here's Don Hovey and the Sunset Corner Symphony with Alabama Bound. And so we bring to a close another Corn Belt Farm Hour. Tune in again at this same time next Saturday when Herb Plambeck and Bill Diamond will present another in the series of Corn Belt Hour Farm Hours. WHO Farm Service shows dedicated to better farming and to happier homes.